Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Today I have a wonderful treat for you because we are going to hear from the artistic director of Vancouver Canada's Choir Leone. It's a men's choir, and I'm going to ask him to tell us more because it's had a history of traveling and doing over 35 concerts a year to over 15,000 patrons. You have worked worldwide, but now you have a special program that is coming out for Christmas. So I'll ask you to tell us a little bit about that. But right now, without further ado, I'm going to bring on Eric Light.
Hello.
So tell us a bit about this, your pathway to getting to the program that we're going to be hearing this weekend.
Do you mean of like how specifically we've arrived at, you know, what this year's Christmas program is? Is that what?
Yes, but also how you've arrived from such a vast career over.
Well,
to have such a long list of things.
Very long and boring story for people. But briefly, I was born in the U.S. I was born in the state of Wisconsin. And there I studied, sang in choirs and studied cello, went on into music school, went to St. Olaf College, a place very famous for their choirs. And while I was there, sang in the choirs there. And while I was there, also founded a professional vocal ensemble. We didn't start out as professional. It was just a group of people getting together to sing for fun. And did that for 15 years, toured all over the world with that ensemble, and did that professionally, sang and was the artistic director. And then had worked with Choir Leone in Vancouver at a number of different festivals around North America. And the job came open, and I just threw my hat in the ring. And I was like, well, we'll see what this is like. Didn't think, oh, maybe I'll move to Canada. What is this all going to be like? But it turned out I ended up really, through the audition process, really falling in love with the choir, falling in love with the organization, falling in love with Canada. And luckily, I got the job. And I am now in my 11th year with the choir. And we've recorded extensively, as you were kind of saying in the introduction. We do about 35 concerts a year with a volunteer choir, which is a pretty remarkable thing, and sing to usually over, you know, around 15,000 people a year, which is an amazing reach that you can have in a way that we can serve our city and be a part of our community through our song. And it's not a thing that's always afforded to amateur choirs. Maybe the symphony gets that, maybe the opera gets that, but that kind of reach into the community. But it's something that we are really, really proud of. We work really hard for, and we take really seriously, just that we try to make sure that all of our concerts and our singing is there in service. And I think that's super true of this time of year when you're giving Christmas concerts. Yes. People come to your Christmas concert, and in many ways, I don't feel like it's my Christmas concert that I'm giving. It's the audience's Christmas concerts, because for many of them, you're maybe going to make their holiday through this music that you're going to sing. And you're going to be that, hopefully, that impetus to bring a little bit of light, have the audience bring a little bit of light out into the world. After the program, and are moved in the music in positive ways.
Speaking of bringing things into being, I understand you have commissioned over 300 new works from composers such as Lee Halby, Eric Essenwald, Gavin Byers, Joyce Moloch. Why are you passionate about commissioning works of other musicians?
Oh, for so many reasons. So I'll do the selfish ones first. It's so much fun. You get to work with these incredible creative people, and where there was nothing before, then there is something, and something that you can share with the musicians around you, and then share with an audience. And just that actual process for me is so rewarding, and you really get to connect with these other artists, and it's a chance for me to grow. But more than that, I think it's Corleone is a choir that I would say it has its, we sing all kinds of music, but our roots are in classical music. But classical music can be a lot of times a lot of dead white dudes, and they were singing about a lot of dead white dude stuff, and that was fine for them in their time and in their way. But that's not where we live right now. These are not that's not our times. So as we are commissioning new works, even when you're taking, let's say, even Christmas music, you're able to, I think, look at it at a lens of now. And I think that's really true of the program that we've created for this year. But you're also able to understand who your audience is, who your community is, and tailor these messages to ways that will meet the audience that is there, but also slightly challenge them, give them, hopefully that they the music is immediate and wonderful and beautiful and accessible in all the ways that you want it to be. But then hopefully there's some little nugget that is new and challenges them, and they walk away maybe thinking about that in a little different way, or thinking about themselves, or thinking about the world in just a little bit different way. And I think that's a real, really, really important part of why you do music, new music now. That's not the scary thing that it used to be a long time ago, where it would just be a bunch of atonal screeching and whatever. But this is I find it really a way to connect to the purpose of now.
I'm happy that you mentioned that because I show Suluau, Suluau. Our audience can, we speak up so our audience can listen up and act upon what they've heard. And when you talked about this personal journey to feeling nicer or kinder about the world, is that part of your passion for being into music as a change agent?
Yes. And I want to that you ask a really big question there. And I think these days, as I think a lot of artists have taken a lot of stock on the world and why we're doing what we're doing, and is this worth anything, or is this just for my own personal vanity? There is for me, yes, it is. For me, it's about impact. And I think that's the way that I would look at this. And that's a tough thing to measure. It's a tough thing to see. But what I try to in the work that I do is a few things. It's that with whatever my role is in all of this, just we were talking about, like with the composers, is can I be a conduit? Can I be a facilitator? Can I be a spark plug? Can I be an engine? Whatever that needs to be, so that the people around me are feeling like they're doing some of the best work of their, some of the most meaningful work of their lives, that they're exploring aspects of themselves that maybe they didn't realize were even there, or find talents within themselves that weren't even there. That gives me that is absolutely a passion of mine. And that goes from, like, frankly, the business side of what I do with the organization to the singers themselves, the creative folks, working with lighting and sound people, all of those sorts of things. That gives me just great joy, is to watch others excel and to hopefully be lifted, and the ways that I can figure out to support them in all of this is that's a fun puzzle to figure out. That's the human puzzle, and I really enjoy that. But then I think the way that you've asked that question, I also think it's, are we trying to be an instant or an act of change through the music? And I would say yes, but I think it's for my role and for who I am in this world, I definitely know that I'm an artist first, and it's that I do the art I try to make places where wonder and imagination can be let free versus me being necessarily didactic in how I talk about things. I think there's a little bit of art going on right now where we want to maybe teach too much, and we want to tell people exactly how to think and feel about the things that we're putting on the stage or that we're painting or that we're singing about. I like to let that part of it speak for itself and to have possibly many layers of entry points for an audience that people can find themselves in the music. And again, hopefully there's change. Of course, there's, I have intents about what I, what I'm trying to program. And sort of my little secrets that I keep to myself as far as what I think all of it means. But that's, I don't think that's the point of art. I think the point of art is to create spaces where we can create more wonder and imagination and interconnectedness through that process. So those are the things that I'm passionate about.
So, you know, for people who might have said, oh, I don't like Christmas music, or I don't like classical music, walk us through what people will experience when they come into your program.
Well, first of all, I understand that. I understand those things. As somebody who maybe has to do Christmas music, I'm working on Christmas music in April, so that's what my life is. It never quite goes away. I do love it, I have to say, so I'm a bit biased that way, but I understand the points of all that. But first of all, what Corleone is it's a choir. And so you are getting music that is coming from one human being to another human being. And many times, especially when we sing a cappella, the totality of that music is only coming out of our bodies. And if you go into a beautiful space like St. Andrew's Wesley Church, which has extraordinary acoustics, extraordinary architecture, we do wonderful lighting within that space to create, you know, just to create a space where people can find themselves and find that bit of repose. But I think if they enter into that space and hear this music sung in this way, sung as a choir, I just think choirs have a unique property. One is that it's coming from the human beings, but two, it's and maybe people don't think about this as much because if they're not church going people, which, you know, I'm not, but we think about it as that there's a choir up there. And so there's 65 of us, all 65 of us internalize, believe in everything that we, so that it comes authentic and it comes across. And so something very disarming in the bestest ways to think about that, of seeing 65 people united in one vision of presenting a text, of presenting music, and just doing that with their human bodies. So again, maybe you don't love every single carol we're going to sing, or, you know, and the other thing is we do far more things than classical music. There's hoedown music that's happening in this piece. There's pop song arrangements, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's quite a wide variety of musical styles and vocal styles, really. But I think hearing that come out of a choir, especially one as disarming and empathetic as Corleone, I think people will find a new way to listen to this music.
Okay, again, now tell us the location and where people can get tickets.
Sure. So the concerts are the 15th, 16th, and 18th of December. It's going to be at St. Andrew's Wesley Church. There are 6 performances, so 1 on Friday, 3 on Saturday, and 2 on that Monday. And you can go to corleone.org, corleone.org.
Oh, hold on a minute. Paul just got his pin. So slow down and say it again.
Sure. The website for tickets is corleone.org. That's corleone.org. or just Google Corleone. You'll get it. And tickets are still available. There's great seats for all of the shows. And it's a wonderful way to share together, I think, at this time of the year.
And the name of the church?
St. Andrew's Wesley Church on the corner of Burrard and Nelson in downtown Vancouver.
And are some of the shows in the daytime, or are they all at night?
No, they're all over the time. So evening show on Friday. We have a new 11 a.m. show on Saturday, so you can go have a little brunch and get your carols on. And then there's a concert at 2 and 5 p.m., afternoon shows on Saturday. And then on Monday, it's a 5 p.m. show and an 8 p.m. show. So that's kind great. Of all over the place, whatever floats your boat for Christmas.
And that's good, too, because sometimes we seniors don't like to be out so late in the evening. It's easier to get around, see what's happening. And as you said, stop and patronize the neighborhood food.
Oh, man. It's like I wish I didn't have to do as many shows sometimes, so I could go. My wife gets to go to some of these shows, and she gets to go eat and go out with friends. And I'm like, oh.
I wanted to ask you again something about the makeup and difference in working with an all-male choir or ensemble. You know, what is special, or what do you find? Have you worked with male and female choirs, or just all male choirs? And I wanted to ask something about the specialness. You talked about the tonal range and how people are impacted by sound.
Yep. So a few things. Yes, I've worked with all kinds of choirs. Treble choirs, mixed choirs, TTBB choirs, lower voice choirs. And so that's been, it's been a wonderful blessing that I've had that chance to do that. Corleone was founded 32 years ago as a male choir. And as a part of how the world is really changing, we've changed our language around this. So we are just now Corleone. We're still singing the same music. We're still singing in the tenor, baritone, and bass ranges, but the gendered language and the sounds that we make, they for many, many years, they were just became a shorthand, and that they were interchangeable with one another. And frankly, it's just confusing, especially in these days when we're talking about gender in, I think, a lot more nuanced ways than we were maybe 10, 20 years ago. And so, we call ourselves you can call ourselves a lower voice choir or a tenor baritone bass choir. There's not really a good word for it that everybody fully understands. But yes, we're singing certainly out of the male choir tradition, and that's what it is. Is there something special to it? I guess I would answer that I've had the luxury and joy of working with lots and lots and lots of different kinds of choirs, different ages, single gender, you know, mixed gender, whatever that has been. And I would say that every group of people that I've worked with has their own, if they're doing it right, they create their own sense of esprit de corps and their own sense of community. And as the director, it's sort of my job to pick up on that and then reinforce the good parts of it, but not necessarily put all of the way that, you know, the ways that I think about things in front of them and make them sort of do and feel and think about things the way that I do. I think it's a much better way to go about it is to try to draw out what is special about each person and how and what that group then turns out to be. And then that said, I'll say that, in all my years of working, Corleone is the most special community of people that I've ever worked with. They're sensitive, they're caring, they're empathetic. They work so hard. They care about one another. Even sometimes they care about me. So it's a lovely place to be as a singer. And what we hope is that whatever we create as a community can then sort of radiate outwards to the audience, and that they can pick up on that and feel a part of that as well.
See that you've also been recognized that Corleone is now one of the best male chorus choirs on the continent. In the summer of 2018, you led Corleone to multiple awards and Grand Prix appearances at both the Singapore and the Bali International Choral Competitions. In 2020, your world premiere recording of When There Is Peace, an Armistice Oratorio, it was nominated for a Juno Award. Do you find, how do those things, those accolades make you feel?
They're nice. They're fine. They're fine. I think anybody that gets into this business, and they're doing it for those, lovely lines on your bio, as nice as they are. And I remember, as you say, those moments, I remember like the actual moments when those things happened. And it was so much fun because you're sharing it with your friends and it's lovely. But what is so much more important, at least to me, is that the process is its own reward. The doing of this, the fact that I get to next Wednesday rehearse a dress rehearsal, and it's not just to be about like, oh, well, then we sold so many tickets for the Christmas show. Again, that's a nice thing, but it's the fact that I get and we get to enter into that music and get to be with one another in this way. So I think, yeah, you put that on your bio, but it's a much better way. I think it's a much more sane way to live too, if you are focusing on what is important in the now, which is doing the thing that you think you're on this earth to be doing. And so we try to make it its own reward.
I think, we talked about new music, how that makes people excited. It's not just, you said, old white men.
Dead white man too.
Dead
Yes,
white men. Somebody else commented on that. But new music, when you say new music, what does that mean to you?
Well, for me, because I'm so much of what Corleone's work is doing, and then thereby mine, it's like literally the first time it's ever getting heard. So, at the Christmas shows this year, there are two world premieres. One that I wrote, the opening piece of this. So it's music that's that no one has ever heard, and as well as a large work from Cameron Wilson, who is a composer and violinist and fiddler, who will also be joining us on the program, has written a beautiful new piece, all brand new music, but to words that I think a lot of people would recognize. It's all based on the text of "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," which, if you remember the words to that, that carol recounts the story of the angels coming down and telling us, I think, which is the greatest message of the Christmas season, which is peace on earth, goodwill toward all. And my goodness, what a better set of words for us to hear right now, and always.
And with so many shows, maybe people coming out, humming it, singing it, just a line that it brings a smile, that it brings kinder words. Because right now we're at a point where, in people's subconscious, when they go to sleep or they wake up, having a little tune that they hum, does help make, I believe, helps make the world more receptive to changing the way we speak to each other and changing the way that we expect the way to go and flow.
I think you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of studies that say music really bypasses a lot of our cognitive aspects and goes to a much deeper place in the brain. They've been doing the brain studies. And and I think also then when you yes, so pure music can do that. Listen to Mozart or something like that. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful music. But then when you have words with it that get attached to that, and if those words have resonance to you or the people around you or your situation or just give you hope, they become maybe almost little mantras, I think.
Yes, I mean, I think mantras, but also activated beings that coming to the concerts, you know, activating something that just makes people as they come out onto the street or as they're talking to people and telling them about this wonderful concert that they've heard, it just lifts. If we can lift the vibration, you know, that's a wonderful thing to accomplish.
It is. And we go out and greet our audience on the, like, we go out with the candles afterwards and are on the street greeting everyone. And that is such a joy to just watch people walking out. Sometimes there's little snowflakes falling and it's like perfect Christmas, that perfect Christmas scene. But with that smile on their faces and just a sense of gratitude, and you hear them, they walk away when they're, you know, their families are walking away or people are walking away. And you kind of just hear this different sort of chatter between them. And what you kind of hope is maybe the music helped them find a little bit of that energy and that connection to one another. Yeah.
And if people go out to eat and they're talking, there's somebody at the next table or around, they'll say, "Hey, what is that you guys are talking about?"
That's right. That's right. And that's, you know, I think when you talk about being a part of change and creating change, all of this happens locally. You know, the problems of the world, I think, are well beyond you or I. And so what you try to do is make that difference, maybe not so much in breadth, but in depth of who you hit. If you could, you know, if I feel like I, of the thousands of people that are going to come through at Christmas, if like really like 100 people got like really got the message that really needed to hear that, boy, I'll call that mission accomplished. That's a pretty special thing.
I hear and feel, you know, the passion behind what you're saying, and that there are many ways of being an activist. You know, we could be activists and march against climate change. We can be activists with placards, but the activists of coming up with something that keeps a person stirring, makes them feel just one little thought differently. You know, maybe I could be creative, or maybe I could give somebody a hug.
That's right.
Maybe I could give somebody, I was going to ask you, is this work recorded anywhere? Is there a CD? Tell us how you can get it in that form.
Well, it's also a really wonderful thing that the choir does. So we offer for free concert films of all of our concerts. So we'll be filming three of the shows, then editing that together. And if you go to the same website, corleone.org, you can sign up and get an RSVP and be able to watch that show for free on YouTube. Through our channel, and it's in 4K resolution, so it's like it looks like $1 million. The sound is incredible. You know, we have incredible videographers. I think there's like 9 cameras or something like that. So it's it's like watching a real concert movie. And so so even the people that come to them live often take this away and go and watch it the days afterwards. Oh, I want to hear that. I want to hear that new piece. I want to hear it again. Maybe I really liked it, but I want to get it a little bit better. And so it gives them the chance to do that. But also because the camera work is so different than sitting in the audience, you get to see faces very up close on the screen and connect with the singers, I think, in a very different way. There's a beautiful, full feeling and immersive feeling of the live performance. But in some ways, what we've learned, I think, a little bit through the pandemic is that these screens can create very intimate experiences.
Yes.
You can watch this all by yourself and see faces in ways that you just wouldn't do that. And I actually really enjoy the fact that we're able to tell kind of the same story in two very different ways, in two very different mediums. It's quite a fun little challenge to see how these pieces work in both mediums.
Yes, I think we're going to work on playing a couple of pieces during the interview so people could hear it at home, hear it and be inspired to come to the show, but hear it and also, I don't think I've heard of any group who has a concert that tells you that you can go to the website and you can order a copy. They could say for $9.95 or $19.95 or $90. You can have.
I know, but wait, there's more. Yes. No, but again, this is part of what we're trying to do. We're a mission-driven organization, so this is a way that we can create access. You know, we start our ticket prices at $20. That's about a movie ticket these days. Let's not kid ourselves. And so we're trying to create their student rush tickets for $10 so that the live experience is there for people, but we also get it. Like, not everyone's free, not everyone can do it, but God bless the internet, or maybe that's a terrible thing to say, but it does allow us to create some access for people when and where they want to see that. We've got longtime patrons within the choir that aren't going out anymore for health reasons or whatever else. Right. And it feels so lovely to get the acute note from people saying, thank you for having this so that I could watch this at home. And when I couldn't get out or whatever, it's a lovely way to just give.